I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Sing me a little jingle, Janice.
On the road again.
Ding, 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 ding. On the road again. Okay, now we're going to get sued for licensing. All right. The Maximize Your Life Tour is on. We are coming to a city near you for an evening of inspiration and information and entertainment. Come. Honestly, please come. It's an opportunity for us to have a direct connection and a dialogue. I want to show you everything that's going on behind the scenes on Biggest Loser. Yes, we're going to talk diet, and yes, we're going to talk fitness, but what we're really going to talk about is why you aren't activating on that information and why you might not be activating in other areas of your life. I want to help you blast through every obstacle and live the life that you dream and that you deserve. And you know I can do it because I've done it with hundreds of people on national television. Let me help you. Help me help you. Huh? Jerry Maguire. That's my best Jerry Maguire.
And that's what I thought as soon as you said that.
And I can. Yeah. I can. I will give you that light bulb moment. I'm that good.
Uh-huh. And we also wander your streets, too. Shopping. We buy things. We go into your stores.
We do. Yeah. So now we really need your $25.
You really can't
miss her. You got to go to... So go to www.jillianmichaelslive.com to buy tickets and get tour dates and find out what cities we're in. And I really do hope to see you there, all kidding aside. Janice?
Yes.
Okay. I was looking for a little inspirational thing to put on Facebook the other day. And I came across this thing that said, progress, not perfection. And while it seems obvious, I wonder, when's the last time you actually sought progress and not perfection? Do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Progress, not perfection. Yeah, because I know I can never perfect something.
In theory, you know that, but what are your actions doing? Like, for example, the individual that eats well for 2 weeks and then loses control for a night and is like, oh, Oh, I'm such a failure. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do this. Oh, when in reality, it's like, hey, 13 out of 14 days, you've done good. That's progress. That's like, celebrate. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, I do.
But when they lost that 14th day, that made it imperfect. And while we all know that perfect is impossible, because nobody's perfect, we're not God, what are your actions doing? Are your actions striving for perfection? When things go wrong, are you like, well, but I've come so far? So, like, when if it's 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, are you still celebrating that you got a step forward? Or are you licking your wounds about the 2 steps back?
I've definitely focused on the 2 steps back. Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Then
yes.
It's still for perfection then. Because it's, I just find it sad how quickly we attack ourselves for a setback, which when we know logically we're going to have them, right? We know logically there are going to be setbacks. We know logically our brain knows that we can't be perfect. And yet when they occur, we beat ourselves up. We get disappointed.
But part of that's for attention, don't you think?
No.
I mean, I do. I think part of it is because it gives us, if you say, okay, your example about, I ate really well for 14 days and then on the 15th day I screwed up. That way you can go, if you talk about how disappointed you are about it in front of people, then they go, oh man, she really feels bad about that. Does that make any sense at all?
It does. Ugh. I know what you mean. There are people that do that and it's like, oh, woe is me. But there's also that person that there's no points for second place. And I'll make that joke sometimes, but it's like, you didn't finish first. You didn't win. There's second place. And people will beat themselves up about, I was talking to a friend of mine who was an Olympian. And she was beating herself up because she was an Olympic bobsledder. And although it seems like, oh, how hard is that? It's really hard.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
it's really hard. And she's like, I crashed the sled. You know, this was years ago. And I was like, girl, you're an Olympian. Olympian, when's that enough? Like, when is that enough? I just think we've got to shift our focus. That's all I'm saying. That the focus is not about always getting it right or always being perfect, but about how far have you come today from where you were yesterday or a week ago or a year ago, for that matter. Have you ever looked at things in that way as opposed to, I want to get here and I'm not there yet. I wanted to be at this benchmark by that time frame. Ugh. Have you ever stopped and said, wow, I'm here today and a year ago I was there.
Maybe there's not enough reward. Maybe there's not a reward. Like, I know in 12-step work, you know, if you're in some kind of recovery, you know, you get a cake. Not, you know,
a
I mean, real
chip
cake
thing, right?
You
yeah.
get chips and you get cakes. And it's not that you really want chips and cakes.
It's a benchmark of an accomplishment.
It is. And maybe there's not enough of that in other facets of trying to improve yourself.
No, there's not. There's not, but I think that we have to create that. And we talked about this on a previous segment about how we have to positively incentivize ourselves. But it's also perspective. It's perspective. So, again, you know, we have that analogy about if you get a flat tire, you get out of the car and slash all 3 of your other tires, like what people do when they have, like, that binge or what have you. No, but, you know, you get out, you change the flat, you keep driving. But I've decided I not only want you to change the flat and keep going. While you're changing your flat and you have that 15 or 20 minutes to kind of think about life, process how far you've gone on this drive. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Process how far you've come on this journey. So it's like, well, you know, for the last 13 or 14 days, I've eaten great. I lost a pound or 2. I didn't gain any weight. This is awesome. That's progress. Focus on progress, not perfection. And that's the only way to truly be successful, is to look at how far you've come overall. Not the end goal or the end game, because by the way, you know, you're going to get there and something else is going to want something else. So
something else is going to be wrong. But I find that if you're constantly pursuing perfection, you will never, ever be happy. Because we all know how imperfect that is. And while you think you know it, ask yourself, are your actions reflecting that? Are you acting in such a way where you value your progress as opposed to your perfection? It's like the... Okay, one more example, then I'll be done. I did this speaking engagement thing recently. I had to take these questions, and this guy asked me about his loose skin right after he told me that he'd lost like 150 pounds, right? And he's like, ugh, the skin, I hate it, and this and that. And it's like, that's a guy that's focused on perfection. I was like, can we stop for a second and celebrate the fact that you've lost 150 pounds, that you've completely reclaimed your health, that you're now an athlete? Focus on that. So you have some loose skin. Who cares? And it was ruining everything that he'd accomplished because he was like, oh, but I just can't get it how I wanted it. I can't get it to the place of perfection. It doesn't look like the guy on the cover of Men's Health. Do you know what I mean?
I do. But you know what? However, I can see where his head is. It's like never being able to just put the nice cherry on top. Like, because you work so hard, you get to this point, and it's like, damn it.
That's perfection, though.
Yeah.
That's perfection.
Yes, it is.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's perfection. It's not going to look like it does in the photo. The photo doesn't even look like the photo.
Yes, that's true.
I'm telling you. People come up to me all the time, oh, you look taller. Oh, I thought you were this. I thought you were that. I thought you were this. I thought you were that. It's like, the photo doesn't even look like the photo, man. If you keep going after the cherry isn't even the best part of the sundae.
Yeah, but it's the showy part.
But the sundae's the part that tastes good. The sundae's the ice cream, the fudge, and the nuts, and the whipped cream, and all that.
You said nuts.
Oh, Lord. I had to ruin my profound segment. Look at it. Oh, God. We got this far without Janice ruining my perfect segment. Now it's imperfect. I guess that's a lesson.
No, but it just... I've never heard you say that. Just for some reason.
I think we need to have lunch. I think it's got low blood sugar.
I think that's it. I think something happened.
I think it's got low blood sugar.
Yeah.
We're going to break. Focus on your progress, not perfection. Don't listen to Janice until she eats. One of the things I hear most often from you guys is that you don't have the time to go grocery shopping and you don't have the time to eat healthy. All right, I get it. You're in a rush, you're busy, so am I. But now there is a killer solution out there. I want you to check out NatureBox.com. These guys are great. NatureBox.com is a subscription-based service. They offer delicious and nutritious snack delivery on a monthly basis. So no matter what your dietary needs are, these guys have you covered. If you're vegan, if you're gluten-free, if you want non-GMO, you name it, they can handle it for you. Their products are made from wholesome ingredients and they abide by strict quality standards. They are Jillion approved. That means no high fructose corn syrup, no partially hydrogenated oils, no trans fats, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial colors, etc. They've got 3 boxes and 3 different price points, so there's options to fit everyone's needs and everyone's budget. Whether you're at home, whether you're going to the office, or if you're just on the go, these are snacks you can feel great about. And at any point, if you want to, you can pause your subscription or even cancel it. So what are you guys waiting for? For our listeners, NatureBox.com is going to offer 50% off your first month's box in any size. All you have to do is go to NatureBox.com/Jillion and get started today. It's that easy. All lowercase, NatureBox.com/Jillian. So check it out. It is awesome. Scratch my ass. My ass is itching.
Oh my God.
My ass is itching. An itch on my ass.
Totally just reached out and scratched your privates.
Not my privates.
That was bizarre.
Passages.
No, you just.
No, right here.
Oh, my God.
My ass is itching.
Well, I've never, you know, listen to me trying to be polite. Scratch myself all the time. Okay, so this is, here we are. This is a segment about...
Well, that was going to be a love doctor segment.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right, we're ready.
But now the tone is not right for the doctor. The doctor requires a more professional tone.
Yeah, because the doctor just scratched her nether regions. I should say
I
more professional.
Right here.
Well, it looked like you scratched the Sasquatch.
The Sasquatch?
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
That's a nice way of saying that
no,
part.
No, the insinuation is like an overabundance of hair.
Well, I wouldn't know. That would you're going to have to...
I've been very clear about laser hair removal.
Oh, that's right. You have been very clear about that. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand.
I'm ethnic.
I don't
understand. Gotta take care of that. I would have an eyebrow that wraps all the way around my head if I did not a halo brow.
Okay, I must...
I'm serious.
I must admit, the film of you when you were younger, you had... That was quite a stack of brow you had going on.
You have no idea. You know what I find even more upsetting? Like, as I get older, the hair on your head thins out, but your body hair just really kicks into high gear.
Oh, ain't it the truth?
I mean, I just remove... It's like ripping it out with that epilady thing. Have you seen that? It's like my favorite thing in the world. It rips all the hair out of your arms.
Oh. You take the hair off your
I arm? Rip it out of there. Yeah, I can't stand it. Rip it off of my arms.
Are you really that hairy?
I would be Fuzzy McFuzzerton if I did not police that with the intensity and the ferocity of, you know.
Oh, my God. Wait till you go through menopause.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. You're
What's the name of that Israeli army? Those guys are serious.
Mossad.
Mossad, yeah, like the Mossad. That's how I am with my body hair. Do I have to... No. Heidi's always like, what are you doing in there? I'm like, pluck, 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 zap, pluck, zap, pluck, zap, pluck, pull, zap, pluck. Yeah. You have no idea. I cannot even tell you. But the laser hair, the good thing about laser hair removal is that generally it tends to be gone forever. Painful. But I don't laser hair my arms because they're in the sun. And anything that goes in the sun, you shouldn't really laser. So I pull the hair out of there.
Oh,
I know.
Man.
Terrible. I know. Yep. One of my most traumatic childhood memories is that my mom wouldn't let me shave until I was, I don't know, 13.
Oh, you're going to say 30?
Yeah. I don't know why, though. She did not let me shave. It was like a thing. Like, you know, moms don't let their kids wear makeup or they don't let their... kids wear certain clothes. Like, I see teenagers running around with their ass hanging out of their skirt or something. I'm like, never. Never. She will never leave. Lou will never leave the house without something that goes at least mid-thigh. No way. In hell. Not ever. And yet, it's like, my mom, I was not allowed to shave. And it's like, oh, it was horrible.
She let you wear... My mom wouldn't let me wear tampons in high school.
No, my mom didn't care about that.
Really?
No, that wasn't her thing. They wouldn't care about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Ooh, too much information.
Yeah, I had to wear a big pad in basketball.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
This is too wrong. Much. Oh, and we had them old shorts, those old polyester shorts
right
from the 70s.
Why is she doing this? No, I didn't say tampons.
I'm just saying, I think some...
I didn't. I said shaving.
I wasn't allowed to shave either until 7th grade.
12. Yeah. Luke would be 7 and be like, Mama? And I'd be like, okay, let's talk about this. Because I'm telling you, it's so funny, though. I hadn't shaved the other day, and I was wearing, like, little gym pants. And for some reason, Lou reached down and touched my leg, and she goes, what's that?
She thought it was a pair of mucklucks.
Yeah, little bastard. It's like, I was like, don't worry about it. What is that, Mama? I was like, stubble, what is that? I was like, kill this kid.
You know why? I think why some moms don't is because once you start shaving,
that's a myth. That's not true. That's
no.
Total, it isn't,
Julian.
Mommy. It's not true. I promise you it's not true. You think that, it's thicker, it's this, it's that. None of that's true.
It's not.
Yeah.
Really?
No, it's
it
a
just
lie.
It blunts it off.
Yeah, that's
so
why
it feels
more, but no, that's not true. Total lie. The hair does not grow back in thicker or any of that.
I always thought that, because, and I thought that's why if a girl ever shaved her cheek, all of a sudden she'd have a big old patch there.
No, hair. But you feel rough because the hair's got to come through the skin, right? It blunts it off, but no. Uh-uh.
Mm-mm.
Wow, all this time. I'm 28 years old and all this time.
I had a segment. It wasn't about hair.
If anybody's still listening.
I know. Do you think we can reclaim this thing?
No, you know what?
In the name of love?
You know what we should just do? We'll just end this. We'll just say.
Okay.
And we're just going to call this the hair segment.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Okay, kids, if you haven't already checked this out, you have to. Hulu.com now offering Hulu Plus. So let's talk about Hulu Plus for a second because it's so much more. You can literally watch thousands of hit television shows and movies from the comfort of your living room or on the go with your smartphone or tablet. That means any place, anytime, anywhere, at your fingertips. So with Hulu Plus, you can catch your favorite TV shows from SNL, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Scandal, you name it. And you'll definitely want to check out their exclusive content, including Hulu originals like The Wrong Man or Behind the Mask, which is one of my favorite shows right now. Don't miss that show. I'm not kidding. It's just pure fun. You're also going to get access to a collection of ad-free movies and kids content. It's $7.99 a month. Catch up on your current shows, binge on old favorites, catch a great movie, stream as many TV shows and movies as you want, whenever you want, wherever you want. Right now, for our listeners, you can try Hulu Plus free for 2 weeks when you go to HuluPlus.com/Jillian. That's HuluPlus.com/Jillian right now for your extended 2-week free trial. Okay, Janice.
Yes.
How's everyone doing?
Fantastic.
Yay. Are you ready for some romantical advice?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. The love doctor is in.
Very good. We've missed the love doctor.
I know. So I have a few tips.
Okay.
They're not profound, but they are effective. And I want you to think about these things. Have you ever noticed in your relationship how you can build up these little resentments over simple and menial tasks that, like, your ex doesn't take out the trash. Or your ex... Your partner doesn't take out the trash. Or they don't load the dishwasher. Or they don't empty the dishwasher. And, you know, Heidi and I kind of had that dynamic in our relationship for a while where it was sort of like, I'm always the one that takes out the trash. But now we've fallen into a rhythm where we have our jobs, where it's like, I always take out the trash and she always puts the bags back in the trash. Or, you know, I'll always load the dishwasher, but she always unloads the dishwasher. Or we have our set responsibilities. At the end of the night, I make the dinner, but she puts Phoenix to bed. Or we kind of have our, like, this is... But there are a few things that nobody wants to do. Like cleaning the poop up out of the run. And another one, when Lou, she's afraid to go to bed upstairs. So... we've gotten into this thing where if she's good, we let her, like, we kind of, you know, we have our nighttime routine and we read our little books and what have you, and then I'll let her watch one cartoon and she can lay on the couch and she has to turn away from the TV, and then Heidi and I will sit and eat and then we'll watch, like, a show or whatever, and we let Lou just lay on the couch and she kind of falls asleep and she feels safer because we're there. But she's really good. Like, she will lay on the couch and go to bed. So, nevertheless, at the beach house... it's not a four-story house, but the way the house is designed, there are four frickin' flights of stairs to get from downstairs to upstairs. And this kid is an Amazonian three-year-old. I mean, people think she's five. She's so frickin' tall. She's enormous. She is so tall. She's already, like, overtaking Heidi. And she's three. You know, she's just hugely tall. So she's, like, 40 pounds now. I'm not kidding.
God.
Yeah. And carrying this 40-pound little sack of potatoes up the stairs for four flights, it dead weight because the kids passed out cold. We're like, mother of God. And so we both kind of like wait till the last minute to see if somebody's going to take the three-year-old up the stairs, right? Well, over time, I think these little tasks that you wait to see and the other person, you can build resentment. So I came up with something. You have a little game. And then whoever loses the game has to do the chore. So like a thumb war. or like a Rochambeau, and okay. whoever loses, and then it's like, it's cute, it's funny, and it's it could go either way. Instead of nagging one another, or you never do it, or I always do it, you have that sort of ritual where it's like, okay, let's Rochambeau it, or let's have a thumb war, whoever wins loses. Of course, I guess if you're in a heterosexual relationship and your husband's 220 and you're a bucko 5, you're going to lose that thumb war. So maybe Rochambeau.
Yeah.
Maybe a Rochambeau. But that, you know, get a system. Get a system and express yourself and then have a solution. That's my solution.
I like that.
Yeah, there's two more tips.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll never forget this. This was actually a Bob gem. But I really liked it, and it's something that Heidi and I adopted. So sometimes you get in a really heated argument and you get really attached to being right, and you forget that you love each other. You're not enemies. This is not a war that you're trying to win. You're not trying to conquer or dominate the other person. And Bob and his boyfriend at the time had a silly code word, and it was chocolate pudding. So, like, whenever things would be, like, a screaming match about leaving your boots by the door or, you know, not doing X, Y, or Z, it'd be like, babe, chocolate pudding. And it kind of, like, reminds them, like, something that was cute in your relationship or something that brings you back to, like, how much you love each other or something silly, something funny to break the tension or, like, to, hey, snap you out of that kind of rut that you've gotten in, or like, this jag where you're like, this is a game, this is a fight, I'm going to win this fight, I'm going to be right, and it's like, hey, whoa. We love each other, you know, let's calm down and talk this through. And it also brings levity because it's ridiculous. So same thing with Heidi and I. So, you know, we truly never really fought. And the only stuff we actually do fight about is parenting stuff. Like, we disagree
right.
about how to handle certain situations. And so there's like a code word where it's like, you know, Phoenix will smack his sister in the face. I don't want to give him a timeout upstairs. Heidi doesn't think a timeout's going to work because he's too young. You know, we get into the whole thing. And it's like, I don't think, you know, and it becomes like, I'm right, you're wrong. And this doctor said to me, and I read this in a book. And then it's like, yeah, whoa, chocolate pudding. Chill. Like, as silly as it sounds, it kind of brings you back down. It's like, all right, let's try it your way. Then we'll try it my way. But it takes the heat. It deflates
now,
the argument.
Tell me the truth. At some point in one of your maybe little, you know, little matches, did you ever go, "F*** in your chocolate pudding"?
No.
Did you ever?
No, you can't say that. She gets really mad. You can't.
You never
She's
said
She's sensitive,
that.
Dude, which brings me to my next tip.
Oh, okay.
She is super sensitive. So the way that I was raised, like, it's... We're not a soft-spoken family, which, by the way, we're not raising two soft-spoken kids, which makes her bananas. Because Heidi's really soft-spoken.
Yeah.
And neither one of these kids are soft-spoken. Neither one of them. And they're both full of piss and vinegar and screaming and yelling and, you know, rah, rah, rah. And so, you know, I can have a conversation with her about the same thing. But if I'm saying, like, so when we were talking about the house and moving, right, and I was like, babe, I don't understand why I'm always the bad guy. We have to move, and it, you know, this is gonna happen. Like, I'm sorry, you have to throw things out. This is the reality of our relationship. Like, we have to throw things out. Like, you know, I'm not the bad guy because I'm making you look at the reality of our situation and our circumstance. If I say it like that, that really hurts her feelings. It bombs her flow. But if I say, honey, here's the thing. I feel like you always think I'm the bad guy because I'm the one that's having to follow through on the things that are less than pleasant. But do you not realize we've got to move into one home? We've got two houses full of stuff. There's nothing that I could ever do to stop this event from occurring. You wanted to redo the house. We're redoing the house. We're on this path now. The ship has sailed. We have to throw things away. Like, if I say it like, you know, and I feel like you always think I'm the bad guy, instead of being on my team, oh, that will work with her any day of the week. But if I'm like, babe, things have to get thrown away. Oh, no, 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 no. It freaks her out. She cannot, even though to me, there's no difference in the conversation. Like, the person who talks like this, I want to punch in the face.
Right.
And it's like, but so there was a study on this, actually. And it found that a higher vocal pitch during a romantic conflict is associated with an increased heart rate and a cortisol release. And it also implies like negative verbal and nonverbal cues. So your body language, your mannerisms.
Oh, sure.
And the suggestion is to almost try to whisper. Because, of course, you're not going to whisper because it's heated. So almost try to say it like you're whispering. Like, to me, this would be a whisper in that conversation of, honey, we have to move. You know, when I was... But it's okay to get your point across, but try to change your tone. So actually try to whisper. So if you're trying to have a conversation with your significant other, but you're up here, the chances of them actually hearing you and being able to take in what you're saying in a calm and receptive manner are significantly slimmer. So try to whisper.
I need to work on my whisper.
Do you?
I think so. I think that's a good tip.
I know.
Because when you whisper to it, forces you to think about it. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit more thoughtful about what comes out.
Yeah.
Because I'm a... Meh! Do you? Oh, word vomit all the time.
Yeah, me too.
And I have to dig myself out of it.
Yeah.
But if you whisper, it's more...
You gotta slow down. Just be like, you know, honey. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah. Come out. Another deep one, I think.
You've been very deep.
Yeah, I'm like a little Krishnamurti. Harry as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you're Harry. That's right.
Mm. He was, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Is he alive still?
No. Who?
Krishnamurti.
I don't even know who that is.
Really?
No.
That's why you're you.
Christmas Murti?
And I'm me.
Krishnamurti? Who's Krishnamurti? I mean, honestly, that's just like you. That's just like you just say stuff, and then you look at me like I'm a complete a-hole for not knowing who Krishnamurti.
You are Krishnamurti.
Who's Krishnamurti?
Like a Timothy Leary, like a Ram Dass, like a massive thinker of his time, a huge spiritual guru from the 70s.
Krishnamurti.
Yes, Krishnamurti. Be sure to read some of his books.
I'm gonna look. I'm gonna go on and buy some Krishnamurti.
You also get the copy of Jingle Bells when you buy two of the three companion pack.
It's not just me. It's not just me. The way I hear things.
Did you hear Krishnamurti? Have you heard of Krishnamurti?
No.
Yes. Yeah, but she's five.
You see, Autumn, you haven't. Jake, do you know who?
Also five. Jake is three. If Autumn's five, Jake is three.
All right. Well, I'm
100. You should know. Becoming a personal trainer helped me transform people's lives, and as you know, I love it. It's literally the meaning in my career. It makes me love what I do. And if you're at all curious or passionate about the same things I am, and you want the same opportunity to improve the lives of those around you, then check this out. Become a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine and let them help you help others reach their fitness goals. NASM guarantees that you will land a job within 60 days of certification or they will give you your money back. You have nothing to lose. The fitness industry is booming right now and there's a huge demand for qualified certified personal trainers. You can earn a ton of money and you can love what you do. Imagine that. Imagine waking up in the morning and loving your job. Well, I do and so can you. All you have to do is go to usatrainer.com today to get started with your free 14-day sneak peek of their fast and fun online program. That's 14 free days closer to your dream job and making great money at usatrainer.com. Let me say that two more times, guys. usatrainer.com. All you got to do, type it in right now, usatrainer.com.
Okay, we are back, and all the way from New York, Chen is waiting to talk to you.
Hey, Chen, what's going on?
Not too much. How are you, Julian?
Thank you for
taking my call.
Of course.
How can I help?
Okay, so I've been dating this girl for, I guess, 3 years, and I thought, like, up until October, like, in October, like, things were going really well.
Okay.
We'd see each other all the time. And then kind of, it was almost overnight, like, she took me off her Facebook. I used to have keys to her apartment. Like, she took that back.
Okay.
She doesn't, like, we used to, like, she'd, you know, want a voice company when she'd go to, like, Starbucks or the mall or whatever, and she'd call me. But we don't talk on the phone anymore. And interaction is kind of limited to text and Skype, and mostly text. And I guess I'm just wondering what's going on. I mean, there's some stuff that I found out in the interim, I guess, since I wrote in. And so I guess I want to, you know, get your take on it and kind of just get a second opinion on what I ought to be doing.
Okay. So let's start. There are three things. First of all, did you eventually communicate with this girl and find out what's going on?
No, I haven't. She keeps on scheduling time to meet, and she keeps pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off.
Okay. So you've tried to communicate and be like, okay, what happened? And she's not communicating back.
Right.
You've emailed, whatever, and still you've Skyped and you've said, like, what the heck's going on here?
Well, I guess, yeah, I have. And I've said that, like, you know, and she's like, and I think mutually we both want to discuss it in person. Right.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple of complicating factors in the time between. So, like, you know, last time I saw her in person was the end of October. And then, you know, I haven't seen her since then. Okay. Or I've seen her once, but very briefly in passing. But at the beginning of December, she broke her leg. She's a horse trainer, and a horse fell on her leg, and she broke
Okay.
her leg.
Wait, listen, sweetie. While that mm-hmm. sounds awful, that's irrelevant. Ready? The first question is, why are you dealing with this? This is a person you haven't spoken to since October. So, you know, I understand it's like, God, I would sure love some closure. Everything was going along swimmingly. And I would really appreciate some feedback. I mean, that's one thing, but it's like this girl's no longer your girlfriend. To be clear, this is an ex-girlfriend with issues. And the reality is, I get wanting closure, but at some point, there clearly isn't going to be closure with her. And so the real work needs to be done with why have you stayed with this girl for what is now almost 5 months? Through this kind of bizarre run around, only talk to you on Skype, this, that, or the other. That's the real question. What are you staying as best as you can? What are you staying for?
I don't know. I mean, I think, or I do know. I mean, when things are good between us, they're great. And I mean, some of it might be my personal history of having, you know, screwed up other relationships. And so I'm just trying to be, you know, patient and...
Honey, here's the thing. This is what you're going to do. You're going to write her a letter and you're going to say, I've arrived at the conclusion that this relationship is over. Express your feelings about that, good or bad. If it's particularly hostile, then you might want to pause for a beat, calm down, read it to a friend, rewrite the letter. It's like, I'm sad. I'm sorry. I definitely feel the loss of you. I'm prepared to move on and do my own work and look at what I may have contributed to the dynamic. But if there's ever a point in time where you would like to share with me your feedback, it would always be welcome. You know, email would be preferable, to be honest with you, because I just think I don't want you to get in this hole, like, I'll meet you, then she doesn't show up, I'll call you, and she doesn't call. Like, if she sends you an email, then great, and then I want you to take that email and process it, you know, with a friend, with a therapist, or what have you. Because there might be, she might say, who knows, all right, ready? You tell me. What do you think she's going to say as to why it ended? You said, I've screwed things up in the past. What did you contribute here?
I mean, with her, like, I've tried to do everything right. I mean, she's in the, like, process of a career transition, and I've been very supportive. And so, to me, it's even if, like, if it's over, that's fine. That'd suck, but I deal with it. But, I almost, like, I'm like, come on, tell me what I did, because I'm at a loss, right? Mm-hmm.
You don't have an answer, because you told me in the past I've screwed things up. So I wasn't sure if you were going to say, oh, I slept with her best friend.
No.
Okay, then, honey, here's the thing. If you can do some, it would be nice for her to say, oh, I felt smothered. Oh, I felt whatever. Maybe, because it might give you an opportunity to reflect. But what you're doing right now is you're engaging with somebody who is emotionally unavailable. And you're trying to change this woman and bring her around and be enough. And I'm going to be patient. If I'm patient enough, I'll bring her along. I'm going to be this great guy. That's what I'm going to do. And you're hoping that's going to change her and bring her back around to be the person that you need. Am I sort of on the nose there?
Yeah. I mean, right. Like, she has said in the past that, like, she feels a little smothered.
Okay. All right. So, fair enough. She feels a little smothered. Fine. And you can look at, down the road, ways where you, why would you smother? Where is that coming from? What kind of feelings are coming up when you're smothering? If, in fact, you are smothering, do you feel like you are? Does that ring a bell for you? Does that ring true to you? Or does that just seem like, I don't know what she's talking about?
It does, and, like, we've been together for 3 years, and I've definitely adjusted, right? Like, we've had conversations before, and I've definitely dialed back, right? Like, we'd sit down, and we'd talk, and be like, look, like, what do you need me to do, right?
Okay.
I'm a little bit at a loss. Like, yeah. As to what's going on, and I almost feel like just going over there and having this big confrontation.
No, because it won't. When, what do you think that will accomplish? You think you'll get an answer?
I don't know. Probably not, but maybe yelling a lot will make it feel better.
No. You go to the gym and yell there, yell here, yell with friends. No, it won't. If anything, it will just add fuel to a fire that's been destructive enough as it is. And the reality is you'll go over there, but you won't get the answer that you want. And the answer doesn't lie with her. The answer lies with you. You've attracted somebody that has clearly made you feel insecure, not good enough, who is unavailable, which, of course, is probably part of the reason you're smothering. It becomes a chicken and an egg conversation. So the more withdrawn she is, the more you're like, wait, what's happening? The more you're going to smother, the more she distances, the more you're going to chase. And the real question you need to ask yourself, these answers don't actually lie with her. Whenever we get in these kinds of situations where things end and they end abruptly and we don't understand what went wrong, we always want to know, like, wait, what the hell happened? What happened? And it is truly maddening. And very often there isn't actually closure, which is a bummer, which is really annoying. But it's the universe's way of saying that your lesson isn't lying with their dysfunction. You may never understand their dysfunction. You may never understand this girl's issues. And by the way, that's not your job. It's hers. Your job is to understand why you got into this relationship with this person, what patterns you played out, and why you continue to allow this to go on. That's where your work lies. Do you understand?
Yeah. No. You're right. I mean, there's definitely, like, I kind of wonder at times, like, I'm like, why? Like, I wouldn't normally put up with this in other facets of my life. Like, I don't put up with it at work or, you know, with family or nothing like that. So.
So why are you putting up with it here?
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta figure that out.
Try, sweetie. Why? First thing that comes to your mind. Free associated. Like, first just blurt something out.
I think I was a late, like, I don't know, I was a bit of a mama's boy, so, like, I haven't had that much experience in that area.
Okay. What dynamic, when you say mama's boy, what dynamic did you have with your mom?
I mean, she's, like, I'm Chinese, so, like, she very much, like, even though I defied her, like, she was, like, you know, do not date until, I don't know, God knows when.
Okay.
I guess just my background, like, you're kind of conditioned to honor your parents' wishes, so.
So did you find that you spent a lot of time trying to cater to your mom's wishes to a certain extent?
Yes.
Okay. And did you feel like your mom would withdraw from you if you didn't? Emotionally. Like, become a little colder or a little hostile with you, mad at you.
She'd be mad at me. I guess she wouldn't withdraw. She just, you know, like, she wouldn't like it. And even though she wouldn't say anything directly to that effect.
Okay. But it's never direct or literal, sweetie. It's a feeling.
Right.
It's a feeling of an emotional abandonment. And I'm not trying to say your mother abandoned you. It's a feeling that we get. If we fear people are going to be angry at us, then we fear they're going to withdraw. We won't have the warmth. We won't have the love. We will be out of the sunshine, basking in the glory of their love. A cloud will come over it. Do you understand? I've gotten into the habit of saying, do you understand? Because of my three-year-old. Please forgive me. Am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm feeling like there's a parallel here where you're in a dynamic of trying to please and trying to save and with your mom where it's like, I'm going to be the good boy. I'm a mama's boy. This is my culture. This is how we must be. And if we're not, there's a withdrawal. And now you're playing out this pattern with this woman where you're like, if I'm patient enough, if I'm supportive enough, if I'm all these things, I'm gonna bring her back around, and she has literally, you're now experiencing an abandonment. You've manifested your deepest, darkest fear into a literal scenario by attracting a woman who's done this to you. And so my gut is, and I'm going out on a limb here saying this to you, and I could be off base, but my gut is that on a very deep level, the little boy in you unconsciously feels like if he displeases his mom, and I don't want you to think for a second I'm saying your mom is tyrannical. We all, as children, have a fear of disappointing our parents, that you'll experience an abandonment. And I believe that you've attracted a woman who is playing out this pattern with you, sweetheart. And I feel like your greatest work is going to be not in trying to please the woman enough to be the perfect son, as a parallel, the perfect boyfriend or the perfect husband, but more so the peace will come when you're living in your own truth and you will attract an individual who will love you warts and all, who will love you when you're living your path And it's not to say that we as human beings unconditionally love each other, and it's not to say that there are things about our significant other that we don't find annoying, but it's I love you warts and all, not I love you if you're doing what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really where the work is going to lie for you, is kind of unraveling the dynamic of the culture and trying to get some resolution on the dynamic you have with your mom. Is your mom still alive?
No, she passed away a while ago, like 13 years.
Oh, sweetie. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I mean,
it's so hard.
In a way, like, that happening kind of helped me socialize better.
Right, well, it freed
like,
you
I
up.
Mean, it sounds like a horrible thing to
no,
say.
No, it doesn't. It's not at all. Not at all. I had wanted you to be able to try to assert yourself in that relationship, in baby steps. But with that said, it doesn't even need to be in that dynamic. Then, I believe you're trying to resolve that issue with your mom, with this woman. And what I'm telling you is your needs are not getting met. So what I want you to do is leave.
Mm-hmm.
And you can write whatever letter, and say, like, I would always love, I'm so sad to see this end, but I know obviously it has come to an end, and I realize the work I need to do now is on me. You talk about your feelings, and I would just say, like, if you ever want to send a letter along with some feedback, I would love to hear it, and I wish you the best. And then it is your journey is going to be about facilitating your own happiness. And I feel like you've lived for this girl, and it's like she got in an accident, and I'm trying to be all these things for her. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, it feels like I feel like I've always put, like, she's number one, right?
Sure, and like, there's your problem.
And I don't feel that I'm number one in her book.
She doesn't matter. You need to be number one in your book, and that's your problem. You don't feel like you were truly number one in your mom's book because you don't feel like she ever actually heard what you needed. It was what she needed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to date. I don't want blah, blah, blah. Not, oh, you're a young boy. This is what young boys do. Not, you don't ever feel like she heard what you needed. So you're constantly looking for that woman that's going to put you first. But, sweetie, here's the irony of the whole thing. You'll never meet that woman until you put you first. Because you will keep seeking out a woman that you can play out this dysfunctional dynamic with. That's why I'm telling you, she doesn't matter. Her issues don't matter. She doesn't matter. The work you need to do has to start with you. And you need to look at your life and start asking how you can prioritize your happiness. And all the things that you wanted out of your mom, you have to give yourself. All the things that you wanted from this woman, you have to give yourself. Kindness, happiness, whatever it might be, whatever it is that you were hoping you would get, you need to be that in your life for a little while. And mm-hmm. as you begin to do that, you will start to feel whole on your own. When you're number one in your book, you won't need to be number one in anyone else's. And then and only then will you attract an individual that will hold you in the regard and the esteem that you desire, because you have to set the precedent for that, sweetie.
I agree. I mean, I never kind of thought of it that way. I mean, it's kind of occurred to me, but you kind of put it very well, because because my mom's been gone for so long that you don't consciously really think about it as much.
No one does. We don't consciously think about it when our parents are alive, because it's painful. That's why we're unconsciously responding to old patterns. It's painful to be like, wait a second, I feel like my mom didn't hear my needs, and now I'm mad. And now I'm freaked out about being mad, because now I feel separate. And feeling separate from the mother is the ultimate abandonment. And so we have all this fear and all this anger and all this confusion. And it's very hard to get to a place where it's okay to be angry and realize that people are not perfect and that there are great things about them, even though we're mad at them, and that we can love them and be mad at them at the same time, and then subsequently work through those feelings of disappointment and find forgiveness and peace on the other end. And that the resolution is becoming, for yourself, the very thing that you desired, and that is your life's work. And mine, and Janice's. That is sort of our life's karma. Our job is to fill in those blanks and work on those issues. So I want you to write this letter, sweetie, and this dynamic needs to go away.
Okay.
It's abusive.
Okay.
Okay, and this is your first step in putting you first.
Right. Okay, I'll do that.
And I want to hear back. I'm going to check in with your little butt next time we do a podcast.
Okay. I'm coming to your New York show. So.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, very fantastic. Cool. All right, well, I'll get your information from Autumn, and I'll make sure you're in the VIP meet and greet.
Oh, great. Thank you.
All right, sweetheart. Well, I'll plan on getting an update then at the Beacon Theater.
Okay.
All right, have a great day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye, Chin.
Well, he was receptive. I was like, oh, God. It's hard to tell people those things.
Yeah, no, but that
but he heard that well, I thought.
Very much so. Because he was ready to hear it.
Mm.
He was ready to hear it. You could tell
sometimes
he was ready to hear it.
I don't want
to
hear that.
No.
I hammered on a friend a few weeks ago, and at the end of it, I was like, she was not ready to hear any of this. And then it's like, my shrink, we were kind of talking about that, and I was like, why is this so frustrating for me? And it's like, a few reasons. Well, he's like, well, you couldn't omnipotently control her. I wasn't able to, you know what I mean? He's like,
yes.
That was sort of her own way of like standing up to the mother figure was by not responding. And he's like, there's something to be said for that. I was like, all right. But it also, when I looked at like the things I couldn't change, yes, it made me feel helpless, which is a feeling I don't like. And it's something I'm working on. But it also made me feel like there was a loss because I kind of looked at several different patterns where I had tried to help certain people with things, and on some level, there was a loss involved in it for me. And, you know, if I couldn't fix this thing that I thought needed to be fixed or change this thing that I thought needed to be changed, and he's like, sometimes they don't want to change. They're not ready to change. They're just working through something, and you need to just listen. And I was like, no.
What's my favorite song to do now? Wah, wah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, just listen. What? Anyway, it's nice, though. Like, when you feel like you kind of, like, you got the light bulb to go over the head a little bit, then it's like, it is a rewarding feeling. And when you don't, you're like, you know, I tried. And I'm finding that, like, all right, I tried. All right, Manus, I got to go.
I know you do. I know you do. Gee, I just looked at your calendar.
Yeah. I'm busy.
Get.
I gotta go.
Okay.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.